KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory tonight and Tuesday. Today, east winds 15 knots, sea 7 feet. Tonight, northeast winds 25 knots, sea 6 feet with rain. And Tuesday, east winds 25 knots, sea 6 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, today north winds 15 knots, sea 7 feet. Tonight, north winds 15 knots, sea 6 feet. And Tuesday, southeast winds 20 knots, sea 6 feet with snow. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory Tuesday. Today, north winds 20 knots, sea 6 feet. Tonight, north winds 20 in the evening, becoming variable 10 in, sea 7 feet. And Tuesday, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet, building to 10 in the afternoon, with rain and snow. Port Hyden and Nelson Lagoon, today, north winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 7 feet. And Tuesday, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory Tuesday. Today, north winds 20 knots, seas 7 feet. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 6 feet. And Tuesday, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 4 feet with rain. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, cloudy with a chance of snow. Highs in the mid-20s to upper 30s. North winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of snow in the evening, then a slight chance of snow after midnight. Lows in the lower 20s to lower 30s. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming light. And Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, then rain and snow likely in the afternoon. Rain may be heavy at times in the afternoon. Snow accumulation can be up to 1 inch. Highs in the 30s. Southeast winds 10 to 25 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 4:13 a.m. at 8 feet 3 inches. A low at 10:48 a.m. a minus tide of 1 inch. A high at 4:57 p.m. at 6 feet 7 inches. And a low tonight at 10:30 at 1 foot 6 inches. Your sun rose at 8:25 this morning, and your sun will set at 7:22, giving us 10 hours and 57 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News. There's only a couple months of school left, but there's a lot going on at the Islands District. And leaders in the Alaska House and Senate say they're deeply concerned about two Trump administration priorities. All of that and more coming up.
Local programming on KUCB is made possible by the Aleutian Housing Authority, providing affordable housing services in the Aleutian Pribilof Islands region and working hard to create employment, job training opportunities, and promote economic development. More information at ahaak.org.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM Unalaska. It's Monday, March 3rd, 2025. I'm Taylor Heckert with some local news. The Unalaska City School District is midway through its second semester, and Superintendent Kim Hanisch recently visited the KUCB studio to give us an update on what's going on at the schools. I sat down with Hanisch to talk about a new union group in the district, staffing updates, including a new high school principal, as well as potential increase in student meal prices. Here's a part of our conversation. I've heard that teacher contract negotiations have wrapped up. Can you walk me through what happened and what that looks like.
Of course. We had our negotiation meetings January 31st and February 2nd. I think those are the right two dates. For the first time ever, the classified were negotiating and are now unionized as well. So that itself is a success. The negotiations went very smoothly. High respect for Ms. Joni Scott, who's the president and led the negotiated agreements on her side. And then our board is obviously who they're negotiating with. So we were able to get through negotiations and come to an agreement in 2 days, and we had four planned. So that's how smoothly it went. The certified and classified came forward with a salary request that definitely shows they've done the research on where we're sitting as a budget, and we're very respectful to know what we really could do. And so we agreed to a 1% increase across the board for next year. And when I say across the board, it's 1% in total money. For classified, every person's a 1%. For certified, every staff has an increase of $1,000 as a means of raising the lowest paid people a little bit more quickly. And that's our hardship when we come to recruitment. Following year is a 3%, and the following year after that is another 3%. So again, asking for 1% to start with gives us a year of a very low amount of needed money to support that.
And what is a certified versus, what was the other word?
Classified.
What is a certified versus a classified employee?
So certified are our classroom teachers. So they have a teaching certificate. And then classified really refers to all other employees, 9-month, 10-month, and 12-month. So custodians, classroom aides, kitchen staff, district office staff are all classified.
And how long do these contracts last for?
3 years. So it'll take effect July 1st and of 2025 and then expire June 30th of 2028.
Okay. And leading into that, heard that there has been some hiring, some increases in staffing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is always a tense time of year. Kind of sad because we do get resignations. Also exciting because we're trying to bring in brand new people that are going to be able to fill those big shoes. And so one that we just finished, and hiring a principal is different than the teachers. So we do get a whole committee together. So there were 7 people that joined me in the interview process. We interviewed 4 candidates. We did offer a contract and it's been accepted by Mr. Mark Elston. So we're very excited about that. He comes with about 8 years of admin experience, various different places. And currently he's out in Nome with the career technical program, I'd say, that's run in part by Bering Strait School District. So looking forward to getting him and his wife here. And he's very excited as well. If I was to quote him in an email, he said that he feels like he's been accepted in the first round draft for the Super Bowl team. So we'll have to live up to those expectations.
Well, that's super exciting to hear.
Yes, it is. A lot of work goes into that, and I think we ended in a good spot. Again, hard shoes to fill, but we're excited. Eaglesview Elementary, we have offered contracts, and they've been returned for 4th and 5th grade teachers. So many of you will recognize the name of Mary Hymas. She's returning. So very excited to get her back. And then also a Louise Ortiz, who was here a few years ago as well for a year. She's anxious to return. So it says a lot about what this community offers when people want to come back. And then we're still interviewing for a kindergarten position and a 3rd grade position and have some good leads on both of those. For the middle school, high school, we've offered a contract for the foreign language, English language learner program, hoping to get that returned to us. It hasn't yet. And then we did offer a contract that was accepted for the science position. And so that's Melissa Cagle is her name. Kyle Holloway has been the science teacher. He's still here. He's stepping into the math position, and that's where she's stepping into the science position. So we're still looking for them for a CTE teacher in the social studies positions, which, again, we've been interviewing and have some good leads. So we're very pleased with where we're sitting right now for staffing.
You'll be increasing meal prices soon. Can you talk about that?
Well, it's a discussion point for sure. So it was proposed at the last board meeting to increase meal prices, not drastically. And based on board discussion, I think everyone agreed that it should be gradual, even though they're not huge, shouldn't happen all at once. So just to give a little bit of the rationale, the reasons behind it, right now, on average, our meals are $3.80 a piece. And that's taking breakfast, which is much less than that, and lunches for adults, that's more than that. The state recommends an average meal price of $7.18. So we're far below that. And if you look at our food service fund balance, we're in the red. We can no longer come close to meeting the cost. To put that in perspective, this year so far, well, as of January 10th, we served 25,000 meals. At that same date, we'd spent $143,000 on the food and non-food alone. So if you do the math on that, the average cost of the meal, just the foods and non-foods, is $5.68 per meal. And again, we're charging an average of $3.80. So we're almost $2 under what it costs just for the food. If you take staffing into that and do that math, now it's costing us $12.90 per meal. Our objective in increasing the price is to cover the cost of the food. The staffing will take out of the operating budget. So what we're looking at is for breakfast to go for elementary from $1.25 to $2.25, and for lunches to go from $2.50 to $3.75, and then a similar increase for the middle school, high school. Mm-hmm. Adult prices will go up more than the student prices.
And is this decision to potentially increase meal prices at all impacted by any potential budget cuts that the district might be facing?
We're not taking that into consideration. In other words, we're not looking at ways that we can make profit to fund other programs. We're really trying to just make sure that this program can stand on its own, which right now it cannot.
Okay, and with meal prices potentially increasing, what does that look like for the food that's on the plate for students?
I think that's what we're trying to do is maintain the quality of meals that we've been serving this past year. This year we did tighten up on where we spent money on food. Like, do we need to have the amazing meals as often as we do? And so everyone would notice that the amazing meals and the one last week was pho. I think we've served it 2 times this year, maybe 3. Last year we served it a lot more often. We want people to be super happy, but we are looking more tightly at what's affordable and still make people really proud of the meals that we serve.
That was Kim Hanisch, superintendent of the Unalaska City School District, discussing some recent updates. You can find our full interview online at KUCB.org later this week. You can also listen to the full discussion on KUCB 89.7 FM this Friday at noon after the Bering Sea Barometer, or Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Kodiak residents are among the latest to be fired by the federal government amid national cuts. KMXT's Brian Venwa reports.
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration staff at the Kodiak office confirmed some of their peers were abruptly fired. Staff could not confirm how many people were affected or what positions were cut in this wave of firings from the Trump administration. NOAA plays a critical role in Alaska's coastal economy, especially by managing many of the state's commercial fisheries and helping enforce laws at sea. It also researches the effects of climate change, an issue that Republican President Donald Trump has long criticized. Some officials braced for cuts earlier this month amid executive orders targeting climate change programs. The White House's Department of Government Efficiency, run by Elon Musk, is taking credit for dismissing thousands of federal employees as part of an attempt to cut trillions of dollars in federal spending. While some firings have been ruled as illegal in courts and have led to rehiring some civil servants, many are still in limbo. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, as well as Representative Nick Begich, were unavailable for comment on the NOAA firings. However, Murkowski has previously criticized Trump for firing federal employees, saying it violates laws set by Congress. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venwa.
Leaders in the Alaska House and Senate say they're deeply concerned about the impacts of federal staff cuts and a forthcoming congressional immigration and tax cuts bill. Senate President Gary Stevens and House Speaker Bryce Edgman say the two Trump administration priorities, quote, endanger the economic prosperity and social well-being of Alaskans. That's according to a letter the top two leaders sent to the state's congressional delegation on Thursday. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone has the details.
Edgman says the two leaders are concerned a recent House-passed Republican budget framework will leave Congress no choice but to slash programs like Medicaid, SNAP, Head Start, and bypass mail.
Just to contemplate the impact, even if half of what's been proposed happens to Alaska, it is going to reverberate around the state in a way that we haven't seen in many, many years.
Medicaid is a particular concern for state lawmakers. The budget resolution from the U.S. House charges the committee overseeing Medicaid and Medicare to cut $880 billion from its budget over 10 years. Edgman and Stevens say the plan could lead to the loss of more than $2 billion in federal funding, and that's at a time when the state is already facing hundreds of millions of dollars in structural deficits amid faltering oil revenue. Stevens and Edgman also decry the Trump administration's moves to fire more than 1,000 newly hired or recently promoted federal workers, from fisheries researchers to forest rangers. Data on exactly which jobs have been lost has been spotty, though union leaders say they expect all of the nearly 1,400 so-called probationary federal employees in the state to lose their jobs. Another leader of the largely Democratic coalition controlling the state House, Kodiak Republican Representative Louise Stutes, says she's especially concerned the firings will make Alaska less safe. She points to agencies like the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and its subsidiary, the National Weather Service.
It's horrifying. For the safety of our fishermen, as we all know, that's one of the most dangerous endeavors or professions that there is. And to reduce the safety factor even more is just unconscionable.
Some Republican state lawmakers, though, say leaders are overreacting. Senator Mike Schauer, a Wasilla Republican serving as the Senate Minority Leader, points to statements from congressional leaders promising to avoid sweeping cuts. He says for now it's all speculation. After all, at this point, Congress hasn't laid out the specifics.
First of all, the process is just starting. They have no idea. So anybody says anything about what's going to happen or how it's going to take place or what's going to be cut is pure speculation at this point.
As for the federal firings, Schauer says he supports Trump and billionaire Elon Musk's efforts to shrink the footprint of the federal government. But he says he's optimistic that even if the cuts go too far at first, critical jobs will be filled.
So this is maybe the process of ripping the Band-Aid off a little bit, and it's painful. But we may have to look at rebalancing when it's over, right? So it's going to be really a painful dip here as they kind of basically go through the sledgehammer. And then maybe it's time to come back in with a scalpel after that and start, okay, now what do we really need?
But to Stutes, that rings hollow. She says she's worried it'll exacerbate the state's struggle to keep young people and families from finding greener pastures elsewhere.
Well, that's great to say as these cars are headed down the highway. You know, we're talking about the out-migration. This is a perfect example of what's going to happen. You think it was bad before?
She says she's worried that even if the jobs come back, the people who filled them won't. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar for the week. Aleutian Family Dentistry is on island until Wednesday, March 5th. You can contact them at aleutianfamilydentistry@gmail.com or call 907-581-3122 to schedule an appointment. There will be an introductory webinar on growing in the Aleutians on Wednesday over Zoom. Upcoming in-person classes will range from canning food to gardening 101 the week of April 7th. Wednesday's class is at 5:30, and online registration is free. The registration link can be found on the community calendar. The Museum of the Aleutians and KUCB are partnering up with the community to learn more about our video collections. Community members are invited to help us document names, places, and other details from our archival footage. We will be playing clips and hosting a discussion Thursday afternoon from 6 o'clock at the Museum of the Aleutians. Also on Thursday, Fireside Writing Club will be taking place at the Unalaska Library. Share your poetry, spoken word, song lyrics, short fiction, or any creative work you've been crafting with a supportive community. This club is open to all levels of writers, regardless of experience. Fireside Writing Club will be meeting from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dive In Movie Night is happening at the Unalaska Aquatic Center this Friday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. Friends and family can float around and relax while watching a movie on the big screen. Children who have not passed their swim test must be accompanied by an adult. For more information on all these community events, or for ones later this month, head to our community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Taylor Hecker, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimmigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for an IGAP assistant and a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant. ITSIS hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements. Congratulations on wrapping up your basketball seasons to the Rookies, Eagles, and Lady Eagles. And best of luck moving on to represent the Aleutian Chain Conference to the King Cove T-Jacks. And today is March 3rd, 2025. Happy birthday to Derek Cabot, and happy birthday to Marcy DaCosta. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I am Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Just Oh, isn't it a shame how we break each other's hearts, cause each other pain, how we take each other's love without thinking anymore, forgetting to give back. Isn't it a pity? Some things take so long to manage me.
Don't do it like that. You're listening to KSDP Radio, 830 AM Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on translator K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
My courage up. There was this long, lovely dancing little club downtown. Loved to watch her do her stuff. Through the long, lonely nights, she filled my sleep.
body softly swaying to that smoky beat down on Main Street. Down on Main Street. In the pool halls, the hustlers and the losers used to watch them through the glass. Well, I'd stand outside at closing time just to watch her walk on past. Unlike all the other ladies, she looked so young and sweet as she made her way down that empty street, down on Main Street. Down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.